chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verses 28 through 30. If you're using the Bible that's in front of you, that should be found on page 816. Over the last few weeks, we've been doing a series called 2020 Vision. We've been talking about how 2020 Vision, normally we say hindsight is 2020 Vision, looking back and being able to see what the past is like and understand how we could have done things better or something like that. But how do we move forward with 2020 Vision? And part of the way that we do that is by fixing our eyes not on our ways, but on the ways of Jesus himself. And we've talked about worship, how as a church, that's a high priority for us, maybe the high priority, that we gather together to worship him because he's worthy. We've talked about community and how as a community, we're to be all kinds of things, but very specifically, we're to be a humble community, a community that does not puff ourselves up and think that we're better than others, but we humble ourselves to serve. And then last week we talked about growth and how growth comes from God. And yes, God does use us for that growth, but ultimately it comes from him. And if we're going to see growth, we have to recognize that we may plant the seed, we may water the seed, we may even fertilize seed, but only God gives the growth. And now next week we're going to start a new short series on our involvement in the growth of the kingdom, and I encourage you to come to hear those messages. They are, I think, important for us to try to move forward and where the Lord is taking us. But before we go there, there's one more vision for the church that I'd like to lay out for you today. And it's not going to seem like much of a vision, but it is maybe the most important one. So let's take a look at what we have here in God's Word in Matthew 11. This is Jesus Christ himself speaking. And he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for these truths that you've spoken, not just to the disciples of around 2,000 years ago, but to us today. Please help us by your Spirit to see not only that these things are true, but help us to see that they are true for us. That we would take your yoke upon ourselves and we would learn from you. And even as we try to do the work called us to do, that we would find rest for our souls. It seems strange for us to think about work and rest together, but help us to see what that's really like. And give us not only insight and understanding, but power by your Spirit to do what you've called us to do. And we pray this, Jesus, in your name, for your glory, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, our one true God. Amen. There is a story about a mother who walks in on her six-year-old son, and he's sobbing. And being the mother that she is, she says, "Why are you crying, honey?" And with tears flowing down his face, he looks at his mom and he says, "I just learned how to tie my shoes." That seemed like a strange thing. And so she said, "Well, honey, that's a good thing. I'm so proud of you for learning how to do that. That's great. But why are you crying about that?" And then he said, because now I'll have to do it every day for the rest of my life. He got something, right? Growing up means more responsibilities. And at times, as adults, let's face it, we can be tempted to think that those responsibilities are burdensome, right? I have to go to work to pay the bills. I have to pay the bills. Burdensome. All these responsibilities that may be on our shoulders, and we can find them very burdensome. And then we can move that same way of thinking into the way we think about following Jesus. And we think that following Jesus is burdensome. You been there? Felt that? There are times when we're tempted to think, you know, following Jesus is not just hard, it's too hard. Like the quote from G.K. Chesterton in his book, What's Wrong with the World? He says, the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting, it has been found difficult and left untried. And I think a lot of times that's the way we look at following Jesus. It's difficult. It's painful. It's hard. And then we say, maybe it's just not for me. Or maybe I can believe in Jesus, but not really follow him, not really learn from him, not really be his disciple. I can just experience the salvation, but the rest of it is just too much. I mean, the same Jesus who says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Seems burdensome, doesn't it? The same Jesus who says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That seems burdensome. But despite what we may be tempted to think, discipleship under Jesus is not burdensome. And I hope that today we will be able to really rest in that truth. Discipleship under Jesus is not burdensome, despite what we may be tempted to think. Look at the words of Jesus himself, right? Here in Matthew 11. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's what Jesus has to say about being his disciple. And when we think about burdens, we're thinking about oppressively heavy. We're thinking about onerous. We're thinking about something that's distressing and really hard. And Jesus says the opposite of that, doesn't he? Where's the disconnect? In fact, I think if we were probably to poll Christians, let's just say here in Sumter, and say, is obedience to God's commands burdensome? That you'd have a good number who would say, yeah, sometimes they really are. They're burdensome. Following Jesus can be hard, and yeah, it's like a burden on my back. It's like the cross that I have to bear, right? But what about 1 John chapter 5, verse 3? That says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. I mean, Scripture is saying something here, and are we listening? Are we hearing? And are we believing? Jesus says being his disciple isn't burdensome. God says obeying his commandments is not burdensome. But as Matt Moore in his article, "Is Jesus' yoke really easy? Is his burden really light?" says, there are days, weeks, or even prolonged seasons in which Jesus' yoke seems unbearably hard and his burden feels crushingly heavy. The reasons for this disconnect between Christ's words and our own personal experience is definitely worth pondering. Do you feel the disconnect? Do you sense in your soul, well, wait a second, if Jesus says that his way is not burdensome, and I'm feeling burdened by following him, where's the problem? There are very few times when when I prepare a message like this and I get to a point where I think, I really need this more than I think the congregation needs it. But this is one of those times. I need to hear the promise that Jesus says, discipleship, following him, is not burdensome. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. And if I don't see it that way, then maybe the problem isn't with Jesus. Maybe the problem's somewhere else. Or as Dallas Willard says, too many Jesus words here in this passage are frankly bewildering. We hear them oft quoted because the idea they express is obviously one that attracts and delights. But there seems to be something about the way we approach them, something about what we think it means to walk with Christ and obey him, that prevents most of us from entering into the reality which they express. The ease, the lightness, the power of his way we rarely enjoy, much less see as the pervasive and enduring quality of our street level human existence. In other words, when we hear those words of Jesus, following me is not burdensome, and we have the experience of life, we tend to say, something's not right here. Something's not right. But Jesus says his yoke is not burdensome. So what do we do with that? Well, first of all, let me say that following Jesus in a non-burdensome way does not mean that we won't have difficult and hard times. All right? Jesus himself says, in this world you will have trouble. You will have tribulation. All right? He says that. And it doesn't mean that we won't have negative emotions. Jesus himself got angry. Jesus himself cried. Right? So it doesn't mean that those things won't happen. We most certainly do have those feelings, and we most certainly will go through trials. But we have to understand that the burdensomeness of life isn't a following Jesus issue. It's a fallen world issue. Do you see the difference? It's not following Jesus that's burdensome. It's the fact that we live in a fallen world and we are fallen creatures who are on our way to glory because of Jesus, but we're not there yet. You see, it's not Jesus and his way that's burdensome. Sin and its effects are what burden us with weariness. Sin and its effect burden us with weariness. Think about this with me. In the garden, in Genesis 2, we read that Adam and Eve were given work to do. Was that work burdensome? It was not. It was a gift from God to subdue the earth, to fill the earth and subdue it, to rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the things that creep on the ground. That was a gift that God gave them as His image. And it wasn't burdensome. Where the burden came was when we go to Genesis 3 and sin entered into the world, and then the curse came and work was to be done by the sweat of the brow. But work itself wasn't burdensome. It was a gift to reflect God. And think about this. In the age to come, we often think, unfortunately, about, you know, fat baby angels on clouds with harps just lying around, you know, lounging around and playing the harp. And that's not a picture of the age to come. Think about what Jesus says in Matthew 25. The words that we all long to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And you expect, enter into rest for eternity, right? But that's not exactly what He says, is it? You can look this up later if you'd like. Matthew 25, He says, "Well done, good, faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." You hear that? That in the age to come, whatever it is that God has for us, it's joy and it's work. And we will enjoy it forever. It's what makes life burdensome is not Jesus. It's not what God has given us. It is sin and its effects. That is what screwed us up in our minds and in our hearts and our lives. I've said this many times, but I want to keep coming back to it. You know how when you have wood and there's a grain, and if you're trying to rub against the grain, how hard that is? But if you go with the grain, how much easier it is? When we sin, we are going against the grain of how God has designed us to be. It may feel good for a few moments. It may even seem good for a little bit, but it is going against the grain of who God has made us to be. When we sin against others and we cause them to have burdens that they should not have to bear, we're going against the grain of how God has established relationships to be. And that's why Jesus in this passage, He says, "Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. What you're seeking for rest in this life will not bring it. Only I and My way can bring you that rest for your souls." It is sin and its effects that make life burdensome and wearying, but Jesus saves us from our sins. That's the most important point about this passage, right? Jesus is the one who saves us from our sins. When He says, "Come to Me, all who labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest," certainly He's talking about salvation in some sense. Don't you all feel it? You're wanting to do the right thing, and you don't, and you feel guilty. That the good news of the gospel, where we say things like, Jesus died for your sin and rose from the dead so that you would be right with God. They sound so good when we get up on Monday morning and there's some sin that we're wrestling with, or maybe not wrestling that much with. It's just there. We start to doubt that God really loves us, that God really has given us His grace in Christ. And we start thinking, I've got to earn this. As we said in Sunday school this morning, it's a transactional, you know. I do something for God, and God does something good for me. Is that the way the gospel works? Is that the way the scriptures teach us? No, what the scriptures teach us, what the gospel teaches us, is that Jesus will save His people from their sins. And it is not by our works, but it is by His grace. And that grace is not given to us on any other reason than God loves us in Christ. And therein we can find rest for our weary souls. Because Jesus saves us from the penalty of our sin, that guilt that we experience, that guilt that we know, it has been nailed to the cross and we bear it no more. The power of sin, Jesus says that if we died with Him, we have also been raised to new life. And that power, sin is no longer our master. And one day Jesus will save us from the very presence of sin. We talked about this in our Sunday school class in the fellowship hall this morning, where one day there will be no more sin of any sort. No more abuse or oppression. No more human trafficking. No more sin of any sort. It will be totally eliminated. Not just in your life, but in the age to come, in the new heavens and new earth. You could look for it all you want, but you won't find a speck of sin there. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound something that your heart longs for? And Jesus gives us that freely. In fact, remember when I said earlier that obeying God's commandments aren't burdensome from 1 John 5? That passage goes on to explain why. He says, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Why? Because everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. That's you, if you believe in Jesus. That's who. Like Romans 8 says, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things we might make it one day. Is that what the scripture says? No, it says we are more than conquerors. Not just conquerors, but more than conquerors through Him loved us. Paul says in Romans 8:18 that he considers the sufferings of this life, they're not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. And in 2 Corinthians he says, for this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Look, guys, I know that many of you have gone through tremendously hard times. Some of you are going through tremendously hard times right now. And the scriptures say, come to Jesus to experience rest for your soul. Find that rest in Him. You can't find it in trying to distract yourself by Netflix or Hulu or Disney Plus or playing video games or even a good book or even a round of golf. That may give you brief reprieve. But the real rest for our soul is found in Jesus and recognizing what we have in Him. As the hymn writer once said, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Do we believe that? If Jesus really does save us from our sins, and not just the penalty, not just the power, but even one day the presence of sin, and we have a great inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for us, and one day all of the weariness and the worrisomeness and the yuck of this life will be completely and utterly demolished. And all there will be is righteousness, joy, and peace, and love as we bask in the glory of our Savior. Right? But some of you are saying, okay, that's great, Stuart, but what about right now? I mean, that's rest to come. But what about right now? I need rest now. And, you know, you're right. We all need something. We all need a rest, even right now. And so I want you to hear this from this passage, that Jesus doesn't just save us from our sins, and that's amazing. Don't put that down. But He also invites us to learn from Him so that we will have true rest for our souls. Do you see that in this passage? He invites us to learn from Him, not just to rest in His salvation, but to learn from Him, to be His disciple, to follow Him so that we will have true rest for our souls. Let me read this again, and I'm going to read it slowly so that we can hopefully take it in. Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light. That's not just a promise for the age to come. That's a promise for right now. That we feel burdened and heavy laden, when we feel weary, Jesus says, come. Experience true rest in Me. Learn from Me, and you'll find rest for your souls. What is the number one answer to the question, how are you doing today? The first is fine, right? What would the second one be? You know what it is? Busy. Right? How are you? I'm busy. How's life treating you? Oh, it's good, but it's busy. Hey, can you? Nope, I can't do that. I'm too busy. Right? And we've all said it. I read recently it was a diagnostic for seeing if you're too busy. And I'm not going to repeat it here, but I hit like almost all of them. And one of them, I love this, one of them said, you have people who come to you and apologize to you for invading your time because they know you're busy. If that's true of you, you might be too busy. That one really hit, because I've had probably most of you say that to me. And you know what busyness does? It distracts us from what's important. There's a guy named Michael Zigarelli from Charleston Southern University School of Business. And he conducted this obstacles to growth survey, where he surveyed over 20,000 Christians across the globe. And here was his conclusion. Christians are assimilating to a culture of busyness, hurry, and overload, which leads to God becoming more marginalized in Christians' lives, which leads to a deteriorating relationship with God, which leads to Christians becoming even more vulnerable to adopting secular assumptions about how to live, which leads to more conformity to the culture of busyness, hurry, and overload, and then the cycle begins again. In other words, what he's saying, if I can break it down, is that our culture, our society, is all about activity. Keep moving, keep doing, keep do this, do that, go, 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 go. And when you're doing that, and we fall into that trap, it's harder and harder to think about God. And the harder it becomes to think about God, the harder it is to be still and know that He is God. To do that one needful thing that Mary did, Martha didn't. You know the story in the scriptures? Where Martha is busy trying to make preparations for Jesus, and Mary is just sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to what He has to say. And Martha gets upset and says, hey, Jesus, tell Mary to come in here and help me. I'm busy. And she's not. Tell her to get off her lazy butt and come help me. Right? And Jesus said, Martha, you're concerned about a lot of stuff, but there's only one thing that's needful. And she's chosen the better portion, sitting at my feet and listening to me. But when you're busy, you don't have time. You don't have time to sit at the feet of Jesus. And I can hear someone say, well, I've got too much to do to be with Jesus. I've got too much to do in order to sit at the feet of Jesus. Well, my friend, you have too much to do. And something should go. You know, there's a quote, and it gets changed all the time, so I'm not going to, I don't know what the actual quote really is, but it's supposedly attributed to Martin Luther, where he said, you know, I pray at least an hour a day, every day, and on busy days, I pray 4 hours. Now, the point of that is not for you to pray 4 hours every day. The point of that is to say, when things are busiest, that's when we need Jesus more. Right? As Jesus Himself said in John 15, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, He it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You don't know how many times I wake up in the morning and I have to remind myself of that verse, because my temptation, the idol of my heart, is that I think I can do a lot without Jesus. And I have to remind myself daily, no, you can't. Not any good fruit, at least. Oh, I might produce something, but it's stinky fruit. The kind of fruit that you throw out. Not the kind of fruit you want to eat and enjoy. Right? Now, before some of you jump to a conclusion, you know what, Stuart? It sounds to me like you're saying we shouldn't do anything. You know, that we should just kind of sit around and contemplate Jesus all day. You know, we should just kind of sit back and say, let go and let God. You know? That's what it sort of sounds like, Stuart. Is that what you're really saying? No, that is not what I'm saying, and that's not what Jesus is saying. Because this rest that we're talking about isn't a lack of activity. It's not a lack of activity, but life lived in reliance upon and alignment with Him. Let me say that again. This rest isn't a lack of activity, but life lived in reliance upon Jesus and alignment with Jesus. Again, come to me, Jesus says. Take my yoke upon you. You know what a yoke is? It's an instrument of work. Right? It's when you have an ox, for example, and you put the yoke on the ox, it's to help them to stay, the oxen to stay in the right lanes and to be together so they don't, one doesn't go faster than the other. But it's a work instrument. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, because I'm gentle and lowly in heart. I'm not going to push you more than you can bear. Now, sometimes it feels like it, but He's gentle and lowly in heart. And He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Notice He doesn't say there's not a burden, but He says the burden is light. We'll get to that in just a moment. I have really been helped in this area by a guy named Dallas Willard, and maybe you've heard of him, maybe you haven't. But in a book called The Spirit of the Disciplines, Understanding How God Changes Lives, he says about this passage, our mistake is to think that following Jesus consists in loving our enemies, going the second mile, turning the other cheek, suffering patiently and hopefully, while living the rest of our lives just as everyone else around us does. It's a strategy bound to fail, and to make the way of Christ difficult and left untried, as G.K. Chesterton said. In truth, it is not the way of Christ anymore. You see, the secret of the easy yoke is to learn from Christ how to live our total lives, how to invest all our time and our energies of mind and body as He did. To seek first the kingdom of God and not our own kingdoms. To love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love our neighbors as ourselves. That is work that is also rest. And if we don't feel like that, maybe it's because we have not really submitted to Jesus, our all. C.S. Lewis says in his book, Mere Christianity, Christ says, give me all. I don't want so much of your time and so much money and so much of your work. I want you. I have not come to torment your natural self. I've come to kill it. No half measures are any good. I don't want to cut off a branch here and a branch there. I want to have the whole tree down. I don't want to drill the tooth or crown it or stop it, but to have it out. Hand over your whole self, all the desires which you think innocent, as well as the ones that you think wicked, the whole out, and I will give you a new self instead. In fact, I will give you myself, and my own will shall become yours. So instead of being busy, instead of being hurried, instead of being overloaded with building our own kingdoms and doing our own thing, what if we said, Jesus, I want to learn from you. Teach me. Teach me, Jesus, how to live this life the way you want me to. Not my will, but yours be done. And you know what? I believe, based on Scripture, that we will find rest for our souls. In conclusion, Dwight Pentecost was a preacher, and he once saw an old farmer plowing with a team of oxen. And as he saw this team, he was amazed because there was one really big ox, and then there was a really small bullock in the yoke together. I mean, the ox towered over this little bullock. And he was amazed by that, and he thought, well, that doesn't make sense. And so he asked his buddy about it, who was with him, and the guy said, well, I want you to notice something. See, the large ox is the one that's pulling all the weight. And that little bullock is being broken into the yoke to learn how to do it. But he's not really pulling the weight. Ultimately, it's the big ox that's pulling the weight. The same is true of the yoke of Jesus. Jesus is pulling all the weight. He's the one who died for our sins and rose from the dead. He's the one who suffered pain and suffered all these awful things for our good. And He is the one who takes that weight upon Him. We can cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us. We can unleash our burdens on Him because He loves us, and He can carry those burdens as we yoke to Him. So, as we seek to engage in the work of the kingdom, let's find everything we truly need in Christ. Everything we truly need in Him, because He truly has it. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, will You give us rest? Rest for our souls. You say that Your yoke is easy and Your burden is light. Help our unbelief, so that we will believe that those things are true, and that we would not try to do our own thing or build our own kingdom, but we would line ourselves up with You, that we wouldn't go against the grain of who You've made us to be by Your Spirit, but we would live with the grain of discipleship under You. Teach us, Jesus. We want to learn from You. We not only want Your salvation and a promise of glory, we want to know rest for our souls even right now. So grant us that. Help us to find our rest in You. And we pray, Jesus, in Your name. Amen.